Are you ready to go from burned out to blissed out? I'm Rebecca Whitman. I will share with you my seven pillars of abundance and interview experts that will help you get all seven areas of your life in alignment so that you can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's get into the show. Welcome everyone to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a very special guest who is a new friend of mine. Welcome to the show, Patty Smith.
Hi, Rebecca. Great to be here.
I know. Thank you. We've been planning this for months and months and knowing we were going to have this incredible conversation. And now the day is finally here and I cannot wait to talk to you.
Yes, I'm excited too. It's been great getting to know you and I just love what your podcast, your show's all about.
Thank you so much. Well, let me tell my audience a little bit about you. So Patty Smith is a seasoned professional. She has carved her success in several industries, including fashion, publishing, luxury, and healthcare. She has won multiple sales awards. Her commitment to personal growth and transformation has been a constant in her pathway to success, and her conviction in the boundless power of human potential radiates through all of her work. Her new book, What Am I to Do Now, is a testament to her expertise and life's uncertainties. So, Patty, tell us your story. How did you go from the industries that you were in to becoming a life coach, helping women to reinvent themselves in these uncertain times that we're in?
Sure. I grew up in Michigan. I was in the middle of six kids, like the Brady Bunch. We were boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. I was Jan, for those of you that know Brady Bunch. And, there's two things as a kid that was always like a pull for me that it lit me up. Was one was fashion, to the degree that my family called me fashion plate. I used to argue with what kind of pajamas I'd wear to bed. And the second was helping people. And the other nickname I had in my family was Florence Nightingale, because I was always running out to help my friends with their problems. So it's kind of interesting how my life kind of went full circle. So once I got out of school, I really wanted to do something in fashion. I wasn't sure what that was. And I ended up getting into the fashion world. I went to a fashion institute and it ended up bringing me out to California. And that was my world for the first chapter of my life, like really into my 30s. And I loved it. I got to travel. I was in New York part-time and I just learned so much. I was in sales and I eventually became a national sales manager. And I just felt like I was such in my zone. And, eventually things just kind of, morphed for me. I kept reinventing myself. While I was working, I ended up having two colleagues that we started a side hustle with. And so for a while I had a side hustle and,
what was your side hustle in?
You know, it started out as one thing, but it ended up being a high-end gift business. And so we were working in fashion, but then we were working in these high-end gifts, which was kind of still that space. And it was really, it was fun. It was creative. And then eventually I got out of it and I was pregnant and we were redoing our home. And that was kind of a next chapter for me. So I always intended on going back to work. I took off a little bit of time because we were redoing our house and I had just gotten out of this business and a lot changed with the fashion industry. So it was just, everything was kind of the right time to move forward. And then right before my daughter was 18 months old and my husband had a health scare. And, you know, in my book, I talk a lot about navigating change and some change, you know, it's things that we want to change. We want to grow, but a lot of times as we get on in life, things happen. And my husband had a very, very serious health scare to the degree that, I jumped back into work like immediately. And that's how I got into, I was selling advertising for a, home magazine, a high-end design home magazine, because it was flexible and I could take care of the little one. And my sister at the time, my older sister, was kind of dealing with cancer off and on. And my world really was pulled out from under me. And we got through the health scare. Everything ended up being okay. And so I was into this selling advertising. And from there, I became, I really formed a good relationship with two clients. And one was a designer, you know, an interior designer. The other was a landscape designer. And eventually they pulled me away and I started working for them doing PR and marketing. It was really kind of just, I was always curious and I was just always open to things. And so they were like, we would love for you to help us out full time. They kind of created this position for me. And so then I ended up doing that and I worked a lot with the interior designer. She worked with a lot of athletes. So I started traveling a little bit, which I wasn't expecting, but I loved what I did and we worked it out. And then my sister, who had been battling cancer off and on, and she went through a really tough divorce with two kids, she her cancer ended up becoming terminal. And you want to talk about one day when just everything changes. I'll never forget being at the doctor and hearing her diagnosis that she had 8 months if she got chemo in the brain. And so I'm getting so emotional. Sometimes I do, sometimes I can't.
We accept everything on this show, tears, laughter, and everything in between. So it's totally okay to cry. Just breathe through it. I know she's your big sister. Yeah.
It's been a few years too, but they said 8 months if she got chemo in the brain and 8 weeks if she, in 8 weeks if she did not. And I really think that she made the decision to do the chemo because of her two kids. You know, at the time, one was, I believe, just started middle school and the other just started high school. Because this all happened right when we found out all this on their first day of school. So I became a caregiver overnight and I stopped working because it was full time. And anybody who's been a full time caregiver will know it is so overwhelming because no one preps you. Kind of just like a mom, you're not really prepped to be a full parent. And I really, it really was navigating change and navigating unknown every day because you never knew what to expect just when you thought you had everything down. I mean, my husband was an angel through it all. I learned a lot. Tested me so much, but it also really changed a lot for me. My sister ended up doing well through different chemos, and she lasted 8 months. And finally, you know, she passed away. And, you know, it was interesting. Through that journey, my life was healthcare, and it was tough navigation, but there were some beautiful things of it. And one of them was finding hospice, and my sister got in early enough. And I just was so touched by all of that, that when she passed away, I decided I'm going to completely switch gears and reinvent myself once again and get into healthcare. And I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly, but I felt this pull for advocacy. And it's just suddenly something just changed in me. Again, that curiosity in me. So I started sending resumes against nothing. You know, I hadn't looked for a job like this in so many years. And finally, I reached out to somebody at a hospice that we used and said, I'm not sure what I want to do, but I want to be in this space. And they recommended me going and talking to some networking groups and getting in front of people. And I did. And I landed into some different things and eventually landed in an entrepreneurial company. And they created a position for me. I was VP of Relational Partnerships and I loved it. It felt like my soul was being fueled by this work. It was such a connection. I just felt connected with just everything we went through with my sister, and she was just in a better place, and it just felt right. And then the CEO asked me to be president. I didn't think it was a good fit, but after 8 months of encouragement, I thought I'll do it temporarily, and it was a big talk about navigating something that it was such a big move for me because it was in technology, which is not my space. I was more about relationships and partnerships and marketing and that kind of thing. But I was on my green growing edge of so much unknown, but I loved it.
What did you call it?
Green growing edge.
Tell us what that means. Is that a concept from your book? Your green growing
edge? It is.
Okay.
It is. And it's so funny. It's become so much a word that I say that when I put that in my book, my editor said, you better explain green growing edge. And
yeah.
Green growing edge is, you know, throughout my book, I talk about your what's next evolution because we are constantly evolving and we were designed to grow and evolve. We take our last breath and that looks different through the different seasons of life. But I think what happens is we tend to stagnate and stall, especially in midlife. And it's like our world kind of gets smaller. We get so comfortable that we don't push ourselves anymore. And the green growing edge is when you step out of that comfort zone and it's like you're excited and curious, but it's also kind of scary. That's your green growing edge of your what's next evolution, the next space you're going to evolve into. And so I really felt that way taking that position. And you know what? It was amazing. I learned so much and I ended up having to, sadly, our CEO kind of went rogue and we had to actually kick him out. And then I eventually had to make a decision to shut down the company. It was based on, I mean, everything was okay, but...
And then how did you become a life coach?
Well, after that happened, I don't know. I have never taken a setback to heart like I took that setback. Even though it wasn't my company, to have to shut a company down, I had to bring somebody in to help me do it. It really played a number on my self-confidence. I just thought, you know, here I thought I was doing, this was my next and it was fulfilling and I'm helping people with the work that we did. And then it just wasn't. And I think my identity was so wrapped up in that, that it really took me back. And for a New York minute, I was telling one of my friends, I think I'm just going to go get a job and maybe I'll just work. But, you know, in the mail, you know, for the post office, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't know why that popped in my head, but she's just like, what? And I realized that was a moment when I was just really feeling uncomfortable and small. And you know what? Maybe this is enough for me. And I knew deep down that wasn't the truth. And so, one of my friends had been asking me for 3 years to go to a personal development event. And I kept not having the time, right? All these things, you know, like just life was full. And so I decided that this might be a good time. And I went and it literally opened up my world.
And which event was that?
It was Mary Morrissey's Dream Builder Live event. And what opened up for me was, you know, this idea of, you know, you're just getting started, you know? And I thought about my mom and my sister, who at that time had already both passed away. Well, actually, my mom hadn't passed away yet. My mom wasn't doing great. My sister had passed away. And I made a decision that I'm going to go into this thing. It took me a little bit of time, but I worked with a coach for just a little bit. And then I decided, I think I'm going to do this. And then right when I made the decision to get certified and make this investment and really jump into something new, my mom's health went downhill. And like one day woke up in late stage dementia and I was out on a plane helping caregive with my younger sister and my dad. And 3 weeks later, my mom died.
Do you want to know my biggest and best beauty secret? It is liquid collagen. I started drinking liquid collagen 3.5 years ago and I am totally obsessed. I have never looked younger, fitter, leaner, stronger. My skin is glowing. My hair is thick and shiny. Eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, they're all growing and I feel like I'm aging backwards. If you really want to know a huge hack to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant, You got to try this collagen. It is amazing. If you go to the show notes, you will get a $10 off coupon. If you buy two bottles, it's $25 off. And there's two versions. There's one for anti-aging and overall health. And there's another formula for fat loss. Both formulas are amazing. They taste great. And it's so easy to take. You just take a spoonful in the morning and a spoonful at night and just add it to your regimen. This stuff is off the charts. So make sure you go to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a couple bottles and tell me how much you love aging backwards. Thanks for watching the show, and we'll be back to our regular content now.
And
then your mother-in-law died.
No, not my mother-in-law yet. My mother died.
Since we talked for a little bit before we hit the record, you shared with me about your sister's passing, your mom, your mother-in-law, and it's like you've had a lot of loss.
Yes. And what I was going to say is 3 weeks after my mom died, my niece was killed in a tragic accident.
Oh my God. You have so much loss. I'm so sorry.
I was questioning a lot at that time because I thought, wow, you know, but you know, there's always people. I mean, you can always find people that have a more like heart-wrenching story. And I just thought, you know what? It's my journey. For whatever reason, what am I supposed to learn from this? But what was interesting to me is when I lost my mom and then my niece, you know, I was going, you know, gosh, I just made this big decision. And it would have been easy to retract and just say, maybe I should put this on hold. But the weird thing that happened was the opposite. It made me so, like, such a burning desire to really go for this thing because I was realizing how precious life was. I lost my sister when she was 50. Then a couple, you know, 5 years later, my mom dies at 82. And then 3 weeks later, my niece dies just shy of her 21st birthday. And it really brought home that whole point of you don't know what the next day is going to hold for you. And it changes like that.
Yes.
And so having this vision of something that was lighting me up really, I think, helped got me through my mom's loss and then my niece. And so
it really lit a fire under your butt. Like
it did.
We're not promised tomorrow. Like I have this vision of becoming a coach and helping women. I got to do it.
Yes, and I thought the last thing I wanted to do was start a business when I had just shut down a business, though it wasn't mine. But that was being afraid. I was letting the past dictate my future, and I thought, you know what? This is the epitome of helping people. This is that other piece of when I was a little girl and I helped my friends, you know, with their problems. I realized this was exactly it. And I just thought of my mom and sister who really were my first mentors. And it just felt right. So it helped me realize the power of having a vision that lights you up and it's your compass. And I feel like we need to continue to do that as we evolve through all the seasons of our lives. And that's how we navigate change.
Beautiful.
In a good way.
So you talk a lot about self-leadership. What does self-leadership mean to you?
Well, you know, I think about before we can lead others, we need to learn how to lead ourselves. And, you know, think about what it is to be a leader. A leader is somebody who's confident, somebody who's decisive. There's a lot of, and then there's the empathetic side of leadership that we don't always see in leadership. But I feel like what really got me thinking about this is this whole idea of what kind of role model are we being to our kids and to the younger generation? And you know, when I was writing my book, when I decided to become a coach and then I got my certification, right after that happened, I thought, I think I'm going to write a book. My husband's like, oh my gosh, you just started this business. But I just felt really pulled to do this. And so I was start and stop with writing this book. And then, I had gotten to a decent place with it, but, I'd never told my daughter I was writing a book. And at the time she was in high school, we were going what happened was we were going through the pandemic. And when that happened, it stopped a lot. And I felt like if I don't finish this book now, like this is the time to do this. But I didn't tell my daughter I was writing this book. And one day she came in my office and, you know, it was a tough time for the kids. I mean, she was in junior in high school and they lost the last half of the year and their senior year pretty much. And so there were meltdowns and all that. And one day, you know, you're trying to be creative. And one day I'm writing and she comes in and I just was like, Christina, I'm trying to finish this book. Can you just please just give me some peace? And she goes, you're doing what? You're writing a book? And I thought, I have to finish this book now because I've got to walk my talk.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm really going to be a parent and be a role model for her, she's at that age where it doesn't matter if I tell her you should do this or that. She's looking at me and she never saw my first act. She's like, I wish I knew when you were in the fashion business. So it's not like she saw, you know, different things that I did. So it made me start thinking about what kind of a role model are we being, even to our younger generation? And it really
sorry to interrupt, but for our listeners, that is a good thing to ask yourself. If you are being watched by your child or a young person, what would they be learning from your behavior? Just getting into that role model. Or you can also ask yourself when you're stuck, what would my role model do right now? How would my role model, you know, approach this person or situation? So, okay, go on.
Well, and you know, so that brings me to, you know, last year when I just published my book, AARP, you know, the AARP magazine for people 50 and older, they contacted me and they wanted to do this article on empty nesters. And so I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting, but I'm open. And it's interesting. She interviewed a few different people on this subject. And the pieces that she took from my interview were the pieces that spoke to being a role model for your kids. And it, you know, it makes me think about self-leadership because it's not just how we lead ourselves doing everything, you know, in a way that we want to show our kids the right way to do things or like a healthy way of doing things. But I think it's also important for our kids to see how we fail and how we resolve conflict to show that, you know, we make mistakes, we're human, and that we shouldn't be so afraid of making everything so, you know, perfect, you know, for them in their eyes with respect to us and watching us navigate if we've been through, say, a breakup or we've been through loss or something didn't work out, or maybe, you know, you lost your job, or maybe you're struggling with something, for them to just see, you know, oh, you get through it. I mean, there's nothing, I think there's not a better teacher than somebody who literally walks their talk.
And there's not a better teacher than failure. You know, there is no failure. You either win or you learn. And I feel like kids are not equipped with failure. I know I almost had a nervous break. I did have a nervous breakdown in college when I didn't get into a certain social club because I had no coping mechanism on failure and not getting what I wanted. Mm. So when parents make it so easy for kids to get everything they want, they don't really have the grit that comes from failure.
Exactly. And I'm going to share a story, about my dad, because when I think about reinvention, and a lot of times I think in our second act, you know, sometimes we're just responding to things, right? But if you're really intentional about, like, say, retirement, people plan financially for retirement, but how many people really plan what they're going to do? And just on a side note, I went to a class reunion last year. And, there was a guy that had sold his business. You know, he had had a business and he sold it and he retired. And he said, and I said, so what are you doing now? And he says, I got a job. And I'm like, well, why? And he said, you know, I retired and I wasn't even thinking about what I was going to do next. And you can only golf so much and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And he said, my wife was still working. My friends were still working. I don't know what I was thinking. And, you know, we don't you know, our kids, we have them plan about their future when they're out of high school and college. What are you going to do? But I don't think that we really think about our second act of life, our second chapter, or even retirement. It's like, well, are you retiring from life? You know, what do you want to do? Like, whether it's volunteer work, or you want to, you know, learn how to paint, or you want to explore something that you, it's always pulled you, but you've never had the time for, but to really get intentional about what that is. And,
or because now people have to work. I just read an article this week. I think it was in the New York Times. For the first time ever, Generation X will not have enough money to retire at 65. Most people don't have enough savings. So what kind of work are you going to do to reinvent yourself in your, you know, third act when you're at 65 and above? It is definitely going to be reinvention time. You're not going to want to do the same job that you've been doing for 30 or 40 years. So that is why reinvention is so important. So what kind of advice, and this is an amazing book, guys. I was so happy to get a copy. What Am I to Do Now? Simple Strategies to Navigate the Unknown and Ignite What's Next in Your Life. What are some strategies in the book for reinvention?
Well, I actually have, I broke my book out into three parts. And the first was just kind of laying a foundation. The second is actually a 7-step Ignite You system.
Ooh.
And then the third part of the book is overcoming barriers, because, you know, it all starts with really getting yourself clear on what you want. You know, when I work with clients, you know, and we're talking about wanting to go after something that, you know, that's more fulfilling. And I think that hits a lot of people when they're in that mid part of life, right? A lot of people I know that happen to me, I want to get involved with more fulfilling work. And so you have to figure out, well, what does that mean? If you're going to spend your time doing something, and whether you need to get paid to do it or not, your work in the world, whether it's paid or not, is how you spend your time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're only going to lunch and do, you know, and travel and do certain things so much, but like, there's that piece that I think what really fills you up is when you're doing something that lights you up and yes, something that somehow is impactful to others. And it doesn't have to be in a big way, but you just feel it's more complete, but you have to take the time to think about it. And I don't think that we don't even remember how to do it. So when I work with clients and I ask them that question, what would you love? What do you want? Almost always they tell me what they don't want. And I ask them what they wanted. Because we're clear with what we don't want. Most people, I think, in midlife and on are not clear. They may say, I want to be happy. I want love in my life, or I want, but what does that mean? And so the Ignite You system really takes you through a process of doing that, of going through, you know, each step of, you know, first thinking about what are things that light you up? Forget about what other people think. Forget about how silly it might sound, but to just really start writing down things that just make you happy. You don't even have to look at it like work, you know, but just what are things, because the whole point is to get it out of your head and get it on paper and look and see what lights you up and what has meaning, like what's important to you at this point of your life. And so it takes you through, you know, a whole process once you kind of do that, you know, making decisions, because you have to make a decision. You have to take inspired action. I call it imperfect inspired action, because it's about moving forward. And, you know, this brings me to my story about my dad, who, you know, I have to say, I never, like, my mom and my sister were my first mentors. And then I have my mentors from my personal development world that I have been amazing. Both Mary Morrissey and Sandra Yancey, from eWomen, just really inspiring people that, continue to help me and empower me with moving myself forward. My dad, of all people, has really been such an inspiration. And the reason why I say that is my dad was a little bit more of an introvert. He's a little more shy. My mom was the outgoing social one. And my dad was very disciplined. My dad took care of his family, you know, and worked very hard. But when my mom died, we always thought my dad was going to go first because he had a major heart attack in his 50s. And it's something that he did in his 50s that I don't even think he realizes that we think he's still around. And I'll get to that. But what happened was he got through this major heart attack and he still had a young family at home. So it leads us to when my mom passed. My mom got early dementia and within 2 years, one day woke up in late stage dementia. 3 weeks later, she died. My mom and dad had just celebrated their 50th anniversary. My dad, I have never seen him so broken and so lost. I mean, we were caregiving for 3 weeks with him. And to see my dad, just, I've never, my younger sister and I have never seen him like that. And then 3 weeks later, my niece dies tragically. So we all are back home for another funeral with a lot of the same family. It's just devastation. My dad said, I haven't even processed your mom. I don't even know what to do with this. So my sister and I thought he's just not going to make it. He's 87 years old. So my mom died in June. My niece passed away in July. And in the fall, my dad calls me one day and he says, Patty, he said, I made a decision. I can either feel sorry for myself, make excuses, look at these four walls and wait to die, or I can reinvent myself. His words. And he said, I've made the decision to reinvent myself. And I was like, okay, this does not sound like my father. Yeah. That would have been my mom. What is this going to look like? And at 87 years old, it might not look like what it's going to look like to you or me or whoever is listening to this. But for my dad, it was getting outside of his comfort zone. My dad taught himself, he took my mom's recipes out and thought, I'm going to teach myself how to cook. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to just do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it also helped him get close to my mom, but he started baking things. And this was not my dad. My dad was the guy at the Home Depot. He was building things.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's sharing recipes with us. Then he wants to go. He's going to, you know, shop at Sur La Table, you know, the home store. We're like, who's this man? He's replaced that with Home Depot. He's bringing stuff to church. We still, you know, for the women, you say, hey, you know, if you guys want to sell this at your bake sale. And then the second thing he did, which was a thing he just never wanted to do. My mother always did this, is he started volunteering at church.
Mm.
He did volunteering. So to see a man at 87, who's more of an introvert, to step outside his comfort zone at that age has been unbelievable. And, you know, it starts back to where I think he had that heart attack. And he was a healthy guy. And so they're pretty sure it was from stress. And my dad came up with this thing called his mental switch.
Okay.
He literally says he says he literally visualizes a switch, like a light switch. And that was how he shut down stress. Like if he was having a conversation that was upsetting, or he was in an environment where if he was in a conversation with you when things were getting heated, he's like, okay, it's time to turn the switch on. And he would literally shut it down. I don't care who he was talking to, my mother, his kids, whomever. He would literally shut down an uncomfortable, stressful situation that just isn't going to go anywhere good. And he really developed that ability with this mental capacity to shut off things that aren't serving him. And I really believe that it helped him even with all of this with my mom and my sister and my niece passing away. And I don't think he was like an unconscious competent about it. It's not like he studied personal development, but it was his own way of learning. And my dad's going to be 95 in October.
Aww.
We're making plans to celebrate. He still lives on his own in his house that's paid off that, you know, him and my mom had. And it's the second house. They moved, you know, 20 years ago. He's built a lot of stuff in that house. Amazing.
And where is he? Where's the house?
He's in Michigan.
Okay.
And he still drives, you know, mindfully. He doesn't drive everywhere, but he still drives. He's got his wheels. He cooks. He does his laundry. He still does his own taxes. And, you know, he's just always about moving forward, focusing forward. You know, he had a very tragic thing happen this past spring, and he his blood pressure medicine dropped, or his blood pressure dropped, and he fainted at church volunteering. Oh. And he face planted and he broke every bone in his body in his face from here to here. And we thought, okay, this is going to be it. I mean, this was it, you know? And, he came home from the hospital and he said, I have one focus and that is healing.
Yes.
Literally what he said, one focus. Next thing I know, because they don't want him walking, that he's like, well, since I can't walk at the mall, he's on his exercise bike, you know, the stationary bike. Then he's tinkering with this doorbell that was broken. He likes fixing things because he's like, I've got to do something. And then in the evening, he's doing crossword puzzles. I've got to keep my mind sharp. But he said his focus was healing, not feeling sorry for himself, not saying, okay, this is it. It's what can I do from where I am with what I have? And that's what I talk about in my book on the action piece of my take action in the Ignite You system is take inspired and perfect action, because nothing happens until you act. Action changes things. And it's all about taking that first step. And I think
it's all about imperfect action. I think people get stuck in analysis paralysis because they think they have to take perfect action and then they stay stuck. But imperfect action moves you forward just as fast, if not faster than perfect action, because you want to fail fast and fail forward and just go for it. So the final question is, when people are wanting to change themselves and they have fear and doubt of making mistakes or doing the wrong thing, how do you tell people to overcome fear and doubt?
I mean, I'm going to repeat this. It's, first of all, befriend your fear, because you're going to have doubt and you're going to have fear no matter where you are, because as you overcome one thing, when you evolve into that next version, then there's going to be that next thing. And so I think if you start reframing what fear and failure is, I mean, failure is just feedback, number one.
Yes, you know, failure is just feedback. And fear is forgetting everything is all right.
Exactly. And so really reframing what those things are, and really that's what's required to grow. Because when you are doing something outside of your, you know, green growing edge, right, your uncomfort zone, you're going to do, when you're doing something that's new or something that you haven't, you know, practiced, you're going to fail. It's like walking. Think about kids. They learn how to walk by falling down. Mm-hmm. They don't decide one day they keep falling down, well, I guess I'm not going to walk. They just keep trying and trying and they fall down and they don't care how they look to other people. And then they eventually become walkers. Driving is the same thing. When we got that driver's license, right? At first, you don't know what you're doing. You are so, but your drive to want to drive is bigger than the fear. So you just push through it. And so that's why having a vision, having a goal, something, you know, that is going to make something your soul's connected with, something like a purpose that just fills your heart. That's the first step, is to find something, because that will help you overcome those things, because your desire to want to do something is bigger than your desire not to. You know, a quick story, if we have time.
Yes, absolutely.
Think about overcoming something. You know, it was definitely when my sister, you know, got ill and my life got pulled out from under me. That was definitely all unknown. But the first thing that happened to me really taught me about, you have something you want so bad and your will to do it is stronger than allowing the fear and doubt. And it's okay that they're there. Befriend them. Know that that's part of your process. It tells you you're on that edge of the next thing. When I was going to move to California, I was in the fashion business, and then they closed our showroom. And I was young. I was 22, just starting to make my way. And so I made this decision to move to California. I had a job interview, a place to live a month for free, and $300 cash. And I was going to do it. I just, you know what? It was scary, but I wanted to pursue my fashion career. And I knew that it would be LA or New York, and that my older sister had been out in LA. And she says, you can rent a room from us for free for a month. And then after that, you got to figure it out. So I went and I decided I'm going to do it. You decide for something you want to do, right? Okay, this is scary, but I'm going to do it. And the minute you decide, that's when those paradigms show up. What happened to me? I was planning on moving. They threw a going away party for me. And the night before I was moving, my car was in front of our house and somebody in the evening came and hit my car, smashed my car. So I couldn't leave. So I had to delay my trip for a week to get my car fixed. So that's okay. That tripped me up a bit, but I'm like, no problem. So then the day I'm leaving, my car is packed to the hilt because I literally just took clothes and a few things. And a friend was driving out with me. And we literally took off from my house, got down the street, turned down the main road, and my car overheated.
Oh my gosh.
And we were able to make it to this stop. And my friend goes, don't you think this is trying to tell you something? And for a brief moment, I thought, you know, maybe this is telling me not to go. I mean, this is like kind of a big thing, two things that have happened. But you know what? My desire to really want to go for this fashion career and really try to see what happens in LA was bigger than the fear, the doubts, the people saying, hey, is this a sign? And I went out there. And the first year was tough in the sense that I didn't make a lot, but I loved everything about it. My car broke down a couple times, but somehow I just got through it. And here I am. I moved out here, you know, in 1986. And you know what?
You've built an amazing life here. So my dog's going crazy. I'm going to shut the door. I have so enjoyed this conversation. I know people are going to want to pick up your book. Where can they find you? Where can they get this awesome book? What Am I to Do Now?
They can get my book on Amazon or on my website. And if they do go to my website, I have a free gift.
Ooh,
and
it's
actually in my book and it's called My Awesomeness Creed, but I it's on, like, you can print it out and it's like got a pretty border. And what my awesomeness creed is I believe in the power of human potential. We all have potential for so much. And you first have to believe in yourself. And I feel like I use the word awesome a lot. And I really think that that potential in you, I call it your awesomeness. We all have this amazing awesomeness. And so I took the word awesomeness and I broke it down into a kind of a mantra to help you. Like every day we get up and we get dressed in the morning, right? And when you dress up, you feel a certain way. And I feel like, why not also dress up inside and put that awesomeness creed on? And it's really like an affirmation to help you feel empowered when you walk out the door. And so download that and you can print it out and put it in your office or put it on your mirror. And I help, you know, I'd love to know that I can help you in that way to just put your awesomeness on every day.
I love that. We get dressed every day on the outside. Let's get our insides prepared and dressed for the day with affirmations and the awesomeness creed. I want to print it out. Where is it? Where is it in the book?
If you put it on the web, if you get it from the website, you download it, then it's in a nice, it's got a pretty border around it. In fact, you know, I've got mine right here.
What is your website?
Here it's framed.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, you probably can't see it, but it's something that's, you know, I wanted to make it pretty so you can look at it every day. And it's, my website is Patty with an I, P-A-T-T-I, PattySmithCoaching.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Patty, for being my friend and my guest on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. And thank you, listeners. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, share this with a friend. This is a grassroots movement. We are totally excited to spread the word around the world that you don't have to live life burned out or drained or even overwhelmed. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. We'll see you next time with another wonderful guest. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Wow, what an amazing show. I got so much value out of that, and I hope you did too. I would love to help you get unstuck. Which of the seven key areas of life do you feel blocked in? Maybe you are stuck in your love life and can't manifest your soulmate. Maybe you just can't lose that last 10 pounds. Maybe you are burned out and want to get out of your job and create a six-figure side hustle. I have great news for you. I am offering 3 complimentary breakthrough calls this week for the women and the men that are ready to get unstuck. This is a free 45-minute coaching call that I am offering to my listeners. Just go to the link in the show notes. And for those of you ready to really have the time of your life and end 2024 on an incredible note, you will want to learn more about the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, October 3rd through 6th in Belize City, Central America. Not only will you learn how to get all 7 areas of your life to a level 10 to end the year with momentum, but you will enjoy pampering in a luxury spa with healthy food, yoga, and sound bath. We will be having an incredible time on the beach, in the pool, walking around the beautiful city. It's in a private island, and it's just something that will be the best decision you ever made. I can't wait to spend a weekend with you in Belize City, Central America, on a private island. So if you're looking for more information on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, make sure you go to my link in the show notes. And for everybody else, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love our listeners, your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this podcast with your friends and family is really getting the word out there that you do not have to go through life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.